It is 4 p.m. on a Thursday. You're tuned to Katie and Kay, which means it's time again for Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, editor of The Sopris Sun, and today we have three very special guests here to talk about the Biodome Project at Roaring Fork High School. Joining me in the studio, we have the one and only Elin Pevik. How are you?
Hi there, Raleigh. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining me. And on the phone, we also have Michael Thompson, an architect and the person who designed the Biodome at Roaring Fork High School. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine, Raleigh. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Elin.
Hello.
Nice to hear from you.
And we also have Gretchen Hoffman, who has decades of experience in gardening at a high altitude, doing organic gardening at Windstar Foundation when she was just 25 years old, about 40 years ago. So Gretchen, thanks so much for joining us on the radio and also for being involved with this project at Roaring Fork High School.
Well, thanks for having us here on the interview.
So the thing really to note to begin is that there is a volunteer project day coming up on October 25th. And we want to set the stage for that volunteer project day by talking about how we got to this point. So I think it would be useful to first get into some of the history. And Michael Thompson, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the origins of the Biodome here in Carbondale.
Sure, be happy to. So, I think we were back in 2007, 2008, and Elin and Jerome Ostentowski, my partner and the founder of the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute, approached the school board and said, you know, you have this great campus at Roaring Fork High School. We'd really like to create a greenhouse and a garden so the students can learn all about gardening and see the harvest to see it again. And so we raised money and we built this under the flag of Fat City Farmers. It was very successful for many years, well, primarily because we had Hadley Henschel, who also was part of the permission-getting process with the school board, and he was the biology teacher there. So it was wonderful for a long time, but I've designed a lot of other school greenhouses in Canada, on the East Coast, even in the South, and up in Michigan, around the Great Lakes. And what I found is that the most successful ones over time are the ones that are really primarily a community garden, where the community maintains the garden at a certain level, so the students don't really have too much of the maintenance activities, but mostly the learning. And so we're transitioning to that now, and that's kind of how I see it. And I'm really, really grateful for Gretchen stepping forward and for any community members that want to be part of a community garden that has a greenhouse under a dome with a giant fig tree in it and a kiwi vine that is good for year-round gardening. So I'm anxious to see the community of Carbondale really get to enjoy it.
Well, Elin, you were a part of it from the beginning as well. I remember you were writing a book back then. I was a senior at Roaring Fork High School. The very
and you're
first
in the
year,
book.
And I'm in the book with a pseudonym.
Yes, well, I was interviewing youth who were working in school and community garden projects about what the impact of working together with adult mentors and with each other and with nature, what that did to them. Mm-hmm. So I asked you all sorts of personal questions. Mm-hmm. And people were very forthcoming. It's very touching to me that the garden environment, I almost always interviewed people in the garden. And I had academics tell me that they'd never heard teenagers be so open about their feelings. And I said, I think it's because they're sitting in a garden when they're talking, mm-hmm. that the garden helps people to relax. And that's a big part of the importance of having gardens at schools for both teachers and kids, is that it it helps to produce serotonin to be working with plants. And the body and the mind relax, and it makes it possible for students after a class in the garden, in the greenhouse, to go back in and have more focus. And that's backed up by so much research now, not just mine, but many, many research studies done with youth all over the world. So it's about building health. It's about growing food. It's about growing knowledge, growing healthy people.
Well, and that experience too connected me with some community elders, including Jerome Ostentowski and Will Evans, who has a show here on KDNK. I remember him teaching us about how a tomato plant isn't confused about its identity and how neither should we be confused about who we are. And you as well, another elder that I was connected to through that class in a way that not a lot of high school classes do that for their students. Gretchen, I wanted to ask you a little bit, just from your perspective with so much experience doing this gardening work, about the challenges that you would predict for having students, not only because of the school schedule compared with the growing season, but also just, I guess, the intimacies that one accumulates of knowing these plants over so much time, but the challenges of bringing gardening to high schoolers who maybe have never participated in that before.
Well, I will say that I've taught every level from preschool to college, and mostly science and gardening and farming. I'm actually looking forward to high schoolers because I don't have that much experience with them. But I have thought of a lot of projects that could be researched by kids in high school that would interface with the garden and greenhouse growing. I think, surprisingly, the space is not huge inside, but the garden is very big outside of greenhouse. So I think it'll be fun to get kids to come in and see it, especially growing year round, because it's pretty, not very green or colorful in Colorado in the winter. And I think it really is inspirational for kids to see that you can have that within a greenhouse environment. So I'm hoping, and I've already experienced quite a few classes coming through, and I hope we will get growing together.
Gretchen, could you tell us a little bit about what's novel and exciting about having a biodome available to grow in?
Well, as I said, it's a short growing season in Colorado. And so having a greenhouse changes that. And if we can get it tight enough, we don't have a frost over the winter inside, which could show people what you can grow if you didn't have a frost year round. And we do have some, as Michael mentioned, we have a fig tree, we have a grapevine, and we have a kiwi vine. And those wouldn't normally grow outside in Colorado year round. So we can do that, and we can grow cool season crops, which we are doing right now, food crops, in the greenhouse. And I just would welcome people to come visit, whether they're the students, the teachers, the parents, or the community, to see what we can do year-round in a greenhouse environment.
Yeah, Elin, maybe you could take us into a little bit of this transition that Michael mentioned of going from really a school-based program into more of a community project.
Well, we did start the school garden and at the same time a community garden. So the community garden we began with support from a Colorado Health Foundation grant to involve immigrant families who had children in El Bucecito. And so we had many families gardening in the community garden part of it. And now those kids have graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. We need a new bunch of families, and they can be, we don't have funding the way we did then, but the structure of the garden is there now. We have lots of mature fruit trees. We have fencing so that the deer can't get in and the bears can't get in. And we are looking forward to welcoming new families this spring to adopt portions of the community garden where they'd like to grow food for their own families and to take advantage of what the greenhouse offers, which is the ability to start seedlings inside and early. And that gives people who don't have the space at home to do that a place to do it. So Mariah, who is with the CSU Extension Office, lives in the faculty housing that's right by the garden. And she's the person who's coordinating the community garden now. And there will be opportunities that you'll be able, that'll be in the paper, and I hope on the radio come spring, for families to come and choose places that they want to garden. And they'll have a chance to learn from what's going on at the school, too. We're one of the things we're doing to make the school garden a little easier to manage is putting down a weed barrier that is a permanent weed barrier. Because the challenge in Colorado is one of our most common things is thistles. And thistles go, and the bees love them. But unfortunately, they're very prickly, and they interfere with growing vegetables. Mm-hmm. So we're putting down a permanent barrier that will go in between raised wooden boxes so that the students don't have to worry about so much maintenance as they have been faced with sometimes in the past. So there'll be both a school garden and a community garden going, and I hope more integration of the community gardeners with the greenhouse.
You spoke about maintenance, and there is some maintenance needed to get us up to the place we need to be to start welcoming new folks in and families. And that is why we have this work day, this project day coming up on October 25th. And that will be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And maybe we could talk a little bit now about some of the projects and the needs. I know Gretchen has been making a list, and perhaps Michael, you also have something to say about reviving the greenhouse.
Sure. Well, the greenhouse, the dome, the one of the main reasons why it performs well in the wintertime is that it has a subterranean, what we call a climate battery, and it basically takes the warm, moist air from the daytime greenhouse where it gets quite warm and saves a lot of that heat and humidity in the ground, brings it back out when it's cold. So it's like having a a Mediterranean climate in there. And so that's one of the main benefits of it. And we still have things we need to do in terms of dome repair because to get the vents working right and the electrical system working right. And so we do need a little bit of mechanical and electrical help for any parents that are in those trades who would be willing to come out and help us. We can do that. And then there's some new fans I'm installing in the climate battery that are really going to make a huge difference in efficiency. So it'll be exciting to get that greenhouse ready for winter and have a really robust climate with a lot of people enjoying it. And one of the things I remember that in Elaine's book she talks about is how the students, when they come in the greenhouse, they get an infusion of oxygen that the plants are giving out. And in the wintertime, especially with the dome closed off, that can get pretty dense in there, and it's very beneficial, especially since kids, after lunch will tend to fall asleep in math class or whatever. So it's a great benefit that I always like to enjoy when I'm in there.
Well, and I've seen that Lindsay Henschel, the principal at Roaring Fork High School, is desiring to open the space up to more than just the agriculture biology class, and really taking some of the art classes into that space, as well as maybe some creative writing courses. And the wood shop might be employed to make some benches or some garden boxes. So really, it sounds like hooking in as many different facets of our community and the school into this really special opportunity we have. As you mentioned, there are mature trees that might need some pruning, but they are grown and producing, and there is everything that's needed to keep bees on the site, and all kinds of opportunities for people to plug in. Gretchen, what would you say about some of the projects that might be on the docket for this work day on October 25th?
Let's see. So I'm hopefully helping Michael with the climate battery and the fans and vents. That would be great. There's an old pond in the biodome that we've decided we need to remove. So that would be good if we had some people with muscle to help with that. I want to put some shelving in the back so we have a potting area and a library area back there. There are projects also outside our continuing cutting thistle heads and pulling up old weed barrier fabric in the hoop house back there. We're gonna fill a big tank in the back of the biodome and paint that black. We're going to fill it with water so we have extra thermal mass. And if anybody can help with clearing weeds off the floor in the biodome, that's also something we could do. So we have quite a few projects, and we're hoping that people will come out. And then they will be able to see also in the future that maybe some of these families can have a little plot in the biodome in the coming years.
So lots of work to be done, but I think also a lot of people to thank for work that has been done. So I'm aware that TE Construction, or actually it was TE Builders, helped install some new irrigation, and Grand Junction Pipe supplied some of the materials for that. There was also a green electric company that helped with the Green Electric Solutions, they're called, setting up some of the wiring. And Roaring Fork Outdoor Volunteers has been involved. The CSU Garfield County Extension and their master gardeners have helped out. Anyone else that you want to shout out at this time?
Karen Crownhart took the initiative to bring together all of us who'd worked on it in the past with the new staff at the high school, and got a designer to do a whole new design, which is why we're doing these new raised beds with the permanent weed barrier in between them. And I
believe that was Christy Jensen.
Yes, she's the designer. Thank you for remembering her name. And, you know, TE Builders didn't just do the irrigation, though he had a whole work crew there for a whole week cleaning up the entire one-third acre site of endless numbers of thistles. Mm-hmm. Such brutal hard work in the summer. Those guys worked so hard. So there's a whole lot of people that have helped with this rebirth of the garden. And, of course, it's a living system, and living systems always need rejuvenation mm-hmm. and new energy.
And Thad Eshelman, who owns TE Builders, is a Roaring Fork High School alum. So I think it's cool also. Yeah. Karen Crownhart had kids go through or maybe our seniors this year at Roaring Fork High School.
They graduated last year, and she was the volleyball coach.
Mm-hmm. So to have all these community connections, current, past, future, helping out at the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so many kids that have done so much over the years, starting with your class.
And it's cool to see it grow up, you know, from that very beginning and planting some of those fruit trees to now them being mature and producing fruit. There's also, in addition to the biodome, another greenhouse structure on the site, which needs some work but could be put to use as well. And so many resources.
Yes, if there is someone who really wants to use those are the standard agricultural greenhouses that are the huge hoops that have to be covered in plastic.
Right.
That is open for if there is someone who wants to do really serious greenhouse work and put up the plastic and use it, they can come.
Mm-hmm. And the site has water. It's hooked to the ditch as well as now town water with this irrigation system. So really anybody who has an inclination to grow things and wants to be a part of community has a home here.
That's right. It's open to everyone.
We have just a few minutes left, so why don't we just do a round of each of us giving some closing thoughts, inspirational words, whatever you feel. And we'll start with you, Michael.
Sure. Well, I'm just grateful that this project, the garden and the greenhouse at Roaring Fork High School, has gone on for almost 15 years now, and that it's been a great, great project for a lot of young people like yourself, Raleigh, and I'm really thrilled to see the town of Carbondale kind of take it over and make a real home of it. Karen and her team really did an amazing job designing it. I was thrilled to see that. And it's really coming together now. So here's your good time for an opportunity to grow year-round, folks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. Gretchen, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just want to say that I feel very fortunate that I ran into Elaine and reconnected with Michael to be able to be involved in this community garden project. I started with these biodomes 40 years ago, and here I am again. And I'm excited for the kids and the families around Carbondale to come and check out what we're doing right now in the greenhouse and to get some color and inspiration in the coming months.
And Gretchen, how were you aware of there needing to be help at the biodome there at the high school?
Well, we always... need help. Right now we're opening and closing the doors, and we have some hand watering going, and we're not always in town. So if people are interested in learning to grow food and want to help or come harvest, we'd love to have anybody come by. And I think Raleigh's given my email out so people can contact me both for the work day and also for some time to come and connect there.
Yeah, so Gretchen's email is in the article in the Sopra Sun that's out today on the cover of the paper. You can find it at the very end of the article. And beyond this October 25th work day, if you can't make it, she's also offered to give people a tour and get them involved apart from that one day. Elaine, what would you tell us?
Well, I'm just so grateful that I was walking by Gretchen's house on the 4th of July and she grabbed me and said, isn't there a way that I could get involved with the school greenhouse? I said, oh boy, is there ever. And she, thanks to the hard work of master gardeners who put in a vast amount of new compost, and to her putting in a whole lot of new plants and new seeds, it's very full and alive with herbs and vegetables now. So it's a delightful place to visit. And I encourage people who've never had an experience with greenhouses to come and spend a little time there, even if you just want to sit down and smell the flowers like Ferdinand. It's a delightful place to be.
Oh, and there's an abundance of mint growing on one side.
So if you're going to make mojitos, oh, yeah, come and help yourself.
Well, Elin Pevik, Michael Thompson, and Gretchen Hoffman, I want to thank you all for the effort you're putting in. We wrote about this back in February, and it's cool to see it continually build and to see all the efforts that are going into it. There's a whole advisory committee as well. And Lindsay Henschel with Roaring Fork High School is the person to contact if somebody's interested in also being a part of maybe organizing or trying to get some funds together. There have been various donors, including the Rebecca's Lodge, Aspen Community Foundation, a donor advised fund through them, as well as Alpine Bank.
And we need more money. If there's anybody who has a foundation that we could write a grant to, we do need more money.
So you can find
more supplies.
And more supplies.
Yeah.
You'll find these details and more in this week's Oprah Sun right on the cover. Thank you for tuning in, and I wish you a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Raleigh.
Thank you, Raleigh, for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Raleigh.